Good evening, and welcome to a post-bye week edition of the JMU Sports Blog Podcast. I'm Todd. I'm joined as always. What's up, Rob?
Hello, everybody. How you doing?
Hopefully, everyone is doing well. Getting ready for homecoming. It's nice to, I guess, if we're going to have a bye week, it's kind of nice to gear up before a big one. And we are coming to you a little late, so this show may be a little loose, a little late in the week, a little, sort of some life things to deal with. And a little late Tuesday. So sorry to the other JMU podcasts that we will be trampling on that come out a little later in the week. but welcome, everybody. As always, we are brought to you by Pale Fire Brewing Company in Harrisonburg, Virginia. The big news this week is not only can you mention the JMU Sports Blog podcast and get a free pint glass. Rob, maybe we ought to tell them to stock up this weekend.
Hope so.
At the tap room there in Harrisonburg. But you can come see us make fools of ourselves on some level, in some way, on Friday night. We will be there by 8 p.m. or so. We'll probably try to do something around 9. We, again, still have no idea whether we will actually do something live for people there or record a podcast in the back. Or just hang out and have a party. But in any case,
I think it's going to be like when you have whatever, like, you know, the local sports radio from training camp where you're there, there's people going around, but like, we're not broadcasting it out. Nobody wants to. People are going to do want to hang out, drink beers, have a good time, Pale Fire.
Yeah.
We certainly want to interact, meet people. People can come on. I think we were talking, and Todd, if I'm if I'm out of line,
No, go for it. No.
I think we're going to try to have like another, we record using a simple phone app. But I think we're going to have another phone set up with some headphones. So if people want to come on and do like a Q&A, they can jump on for 30 seconds with us, whatever. So it'll be fun. But just think of it as like we're going to be there on location. We'll knock out a podcast, 20 or 30 minutes. But then it's mostly just hanging out, talking sports, having good beers.
Absolutely. And hopefully there'll be some other – there'll be lots of good JMU folks there, famous or not famous or infamous, all of the above on Friday. And you can come up and join us after QuadFest. So – the Alumni Association and the school are putting on the big event there on the quad on Friday evening. Hopefully the weather will hold out for them. We'll see. But that is from 5 to 7 on Friday. There is, I think we said, like some kind of a beer garden event. Rob and I will be outside of that. I think we both said we, if we're going to record this thing at 9, we're not going to start at 5. So
No.
So
we will make a fool of ourselves, but not in a drunken way. We'll leave our own stupidity to take care of that.
That's right. But hopefully lots of Dukes can make it back to that. Should be a really good event if it's not too wet. And I'm sure we'll get to a little weather stuff later. As always, rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. I think I said last week that we were on Stitcher. We may not be. I don't know about that. So we'll see what happens. But thanks to everyone that's interacted. We've had a great couple of weeks. Not so much on the pod, but because of having Nikki Newman on the pod, I think we got a great reaction to that. And then there's just been a lot of good stuff going on. Rob, you've had some good interactions with people online. So you can always follow us on Twitter at JMU Sports Blog. You can find us on Facebook. Had a lot of fun the last couple of weeks interacting with everybody, even without JMU football to behold. So a couple, you know, just notes tonight. We don't have obviously a game to cover from last week. So we are going to do, we're going to do four downs, but we're going to be looking forward to this week's big, big, big matchup with Stony Brook. And then we're going to do sort of a shorter, I don't know if it's two halves or four quarters. Looking forward to men's basketball. We next week, we'll be talking, obviously, the Stony Brook game. We'll be looking ahead to the Duke's next football game. And we're going to have another pretty cool guest on, one we've had on the podcast before. And we will be diving deep into women's basketball next week and really looking forward to that. So hope everybody can join us next week. So we'll save the women's stuff for having a cool guest next week. But we're going to do a little bit on the men tonight. And before we get to football or basketball, just a reminder that the women's soccer team clinched the CAA title over this past weekend with a 1-1 draw with Delaware. They came back from a very slow start to the season to just go all, you know, I mean, just on fire in CAA play. They finished 7-1-1, and they are hosting the CAA women's soccer tournament this weekend. So for those of you making a big weekend out of it, the Dukes, as the number one seed, are at home and they have a bye to the semifinals, where they will meet somebody from the conference on Sunday at 1 o'clock. So that's sort of the first of the fall postseason competitions in the big stuff. The men's soccer team is also 6 games unbeaten at the moment. They played tonight. They played Longwood tonight. And they play Saturday at 8. So after the football game, they host Elon. So for anyone that's still there, especially because it looks like the rain might actually clear out at some point on Saturday, that would be a good one. Their only loss of the season was a tough one to a really strong UNC Wilmington team so far, or their only CAA loss. But the men's soccer team has climbed all the way back to their – I saw today they're ranked in the top 25 for the first time in 7 years. So congrats to them, and hopefully they can keep it going. And the volleyball team is getting very close. They did lose their first CAA match of the season, but they're 17-4 overall, 9-1 in the conference. They have 6 games left, so a few more weeks till their season heads towards the playoffs. But they are on the road this week with their southern trip of Charleston and Wilmington. So good stuff from all those teams. And if you can this weekend, there's a lot of opportunities to see the Dukes on the soccer field down at Centerra Park. So, Rob, with that, I think, you know, we talked about we're going to maybe do basketball first tonight. And then I don't know if you felt like I did, but this football game, like the importance of it has kind of crept up on me. And
without a doubt. Yeah. I think for both teams. I think for Stony Brook, too.
Yeah.
Taking a look at them and doing a little bit of research today. And they're a lot like JMU in the sense that they're sitting in pretty good shape. You know, they're ranked and definitely have their eyes on the playoffs.
They're ranked 10th, just like Elon was.
Just so Elon. But they're kind of searching for a signature win, mm-hmm. much like JMU. You know, I'm confident. Certainly confident in this D. I was concerned coming out of Elon, but then as they've started to get healthier, and we saw last week, like mm-hmm. this defense is very good. Mm-hmm. The offense, we've talked at length. I still think there's some things that need to work out there. But overall, I'm just not sure what to make of this JMU team. You know, mm-hmm. JMU has yet to beat anybody that I would consider to be a good team.
Right.
And Stony Brook really hasn't either. You know, on paper, they've got a couple wins that look like they're better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had a closer game against Villanova, where Bednarczyk or whatever, I can't even say that guy's name, he went out with an injury, but they came back from 21 down, which is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But they did, you know, against backup QB, and they let the backup QB drive down for what could have been the tying torch if they missed the extra point. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be super excited if JMU let that guy drive down the field. I found Villanova's offense to be somewhat lacking.
Yeah, somewhat.
So that's something to write home about. They beat a Rhode Island team last weekend that has had some great flashes for Rhode Island, but with injuries and some quarterbacks, particularly the quarterback position, they're starting to look like maybe the magic dust is wearing off them a bit.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're not necessarily in the driver's seat for the playoffs anymore. They're going to need to really make some happen. So, I mean, you never know what to make of Stony Brook. Between the two teams,
mm-hmm.
with the history, with the coaching, with the experience and the pure talent, I'd take JMU in a heartbeat, but you don't know. I mean, this weekend could change it. This is a really big game for both teams. We're getting down the stretch run. Towson is kind of a leader in the clubhouse right now. Who knows? I mean, that offense appears to be for real, but JMU and Stony Brook, the winner of this game could kind of emerge as the big challenge to Towson.
Yeah, and I just, in thinking about putting together this little segment, I thought, for me, the first thing that jumped out at me is just, I don't think that I recognized, and maybe I'm overblowing this, but this feels like the most important game that JMU has played since probably the first playoff game under Houston. Just in terms of what it means to where we're, you know, how we're going to calibrate this team and our expectations for it the rest of the year. Like, Stony Brook has a lot of the same ingredients that Elon does. They're kind of a tough-nosed team. They grind. They have a senior quarterback. They're good. They have a track record the last couple of years of improving. You know, exactly the kind of team that bothers, that has seemed to give JMU a little bit of trouble. And I guess when I was just thinking about the importance of the game, I mean, if JMU, whoever loses this game is in a real tight spot in this conference right now. Not only for the conference, but for the playoffs, you know, and the winner will really be, have, I don't want to say they're home free, but they will be very well set up at least for the playoffs, you know.
Yeah.
JMU would have a much bigger margin for error the rest of the way if they win this weekend. And I guess I just mean that in the same way as that New Hampshire game a couple years ago in the playoffs, that's the Lock the Damn Gates game, we just didn't quite believe after 2 years of Withers, you know, having a fancy gaudy record, but crapping out in the playoffs, we didn't know for sure what to believe about that team. And this, that's a little bit the way I feel about this one. You know, JMU's kind of lost the, you know, they've lost the two games that have been really difficult this year. And they've feasted on five other teams that are, may not, none of them may finish over 500. So this feels like Stony Brook is the team that will definitely finish in the mix, right? They're contending for the conference. Feel like they will be around come the end of the season in the discussion. And it's time for JMU to really show they can put their pedal down in a big game like this year.
Well, I guess the thing is, like you said, I think both these teams, even if they lose this weekend, they're still in decent shape for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We can do it. The winner of this game, it, certainly JMU, but even Stony Brook, is in position to grab a seed.
Yeah, yeah. JMU is probably back in position to be a top four seed if they win this game.
Yeah. And Stony Brook could play their way into it.
They could.
You know, if Stony Brook beats JMU, that's a big win in the FCS world. Even though JMU lost to Elon a couple weeks ago, it's taken nothing away from it. This is kind of a signature win if you'd beat a team like JMU. And boy, would that get them to 5-2, 6-2?
Yeah, they'd be right there too. Yep.
They'd be right there. So they'd be in the mix already at number 10. And if another couple of teams lose, you're looking at, you know, you're on that 5-6 range and you win the CAA. And I've got to think this year, if the team wins the CIA with two or fewer losses, they've got a good shot at a top four seed.
Yeah, I think so. And for JMU, you know, Stony Brook has already played Towson. That's one of their losses, I believe. And you know, so this is kind of their last big chance, probably against the, what appear to be the big three teams in the conference. This is their other opportunity. You know, JMU would still have the Towson game out in front of them, but this is a real, this is one of the two. I mean, JMU's going to have two. They got this one. And Towson, who's up to number six or so in the country. I mean, they've got two huge matchups to go this season. And that's without even saying, you know, Rhode Island or New Hampshire.
Yeah. So I mean, you never, even though New Hampshire, you know, has really been down on its luck, Trevor Knight, you never want to give that guy chances, especially if he's playing with nothing to lose.
Right.
If they can just air it out, that's, they're going to be a tough out the rest of the season.
Especially up there, too.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it's a big opportunity for JMU. We're excited about that. Yeah, I don't know. The second thing I was thinking about, Rob, is just I'm most looking forward to seeing what the running game can do coming off the bye. It looks like they may be getting Clayton Cheatham back this week, and that would be a big boost, I think, in the running game. Not that the other tight ends haven't done a decent job where they can and certainly been there to catch passes when needed. But
just the experience of the running game, the blocking.
Exactly.
I think he adds some extra comfort for all the offensive linemen, you know, maybe some, just a greater stability.
Yeah, it would be nice on this team who has plenty of weapons on the outside and in the backfield. They need a sixth offensive lineman, not another weapon on the outside right now. And, I'm kind
even
of excited.
More so if the weather is iffy.
Yeah, yes. Yes. Yeah, I guess we'll get to that. But, I mean – I'm really excited to see. I mean, the running game has been lacking to some extent this year, especially when it really, really mattered. And I'm hoping that coming off the bye, and JMU seems to be really getting healthy, that this is the time when they can start cranking it up a little bit and maybe find some rhythm this weekend.
So, well, it's about that time that Marcus Marshall started to hit his stride last year,
mm-hmm.
you know, going stretch run in the playoffs. So I'm eternally optimistic, but at the same time, every week it doesn't click. Starts to make me think like, oh my gosh, am I just watching everything with purple glasses on? So coming out of the bye week, homecoming, potentially kind of a wet track, this is set up to, you know, really be a big game for the rushing attack and maybe get some confidence going down the stretch.
Absolutely. Rob, what about you? Got anything in particular?
Well, on the other side, I'm really kind of, the fan in me is kind of excited to see the matchup of JMU's rush defense against Goins and Leotine.
Yeah.
Is that, I'm not sure. If I mispronounce these names,
it's definitely Leotine, the other guy, I don't know. But yes.
Yeah. Goins. I mean, these guys are good.
Yeah.
And I think if you're not familiar with them collectively, I think they're averaging like 199 yards a game.
Mm-hmm.
They're absolutely just kind of lights out. The running game, I think it's fair to say we all expected JMU to have. I would have thought this would – you look at their stats, and if you told me at the beginning of the year, two running backs in this game, who is it going to be, you know, blind stats, I'd say, oh, you're looking at Marshall and Sharp or
right.
something like that. And it's not them.
No.
It's the two leading rushers in the CAA mm-hmm. are both of Stony Brook's backs.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're trying to call them Long Island Express. I don't know if that's like a thing or if there's – I'd be much more –
so like Pony Express. I don't know if you want to name yourself after the SMU debacle, but yeah.
Or the Hogwarts Express.
Right.
Polar Express or something.
Yeah.
I'd be more worried about something called the Long Island Express if this was like a lacrosse preview, but I don't
Right, or
don't
a pro wrestling of, promotion.
Yeah, yeah, I don't typically think of Long Island as, you know, you're not confusing it with the heart of the SEC.
No.
But these guys are really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last week they both went over 100 yards. It was the fourth time this year they've done that in the same game.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive, no matter who you're playing. So it'll be really cool to see how JMU loads up and attacks that. I'm sure they're going to try to force Carbone to beat him in the passing game. But the difference is probably going to come down to which team can run the ball.
Yeah.
And thus far, I mean, it's immovable force and, you know, or, I just totally butchered that. What is that? Unstoppable. It's late. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Perpetual, whatever. But it's the two strengths. You know, the strength of the JMU team is the rush D. The strength of Stony Brook is the running attack. So it's going to be great for a fan. I just hope it goes in our favor.
Yeah, you certainly hope. I mean, was it last year the playoff game with Stony Brook? I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, once JMU really shut down the running game and they forced Carbone to try to beat them, and he did not. you know, his performance in the playoffs last year was it was pretty awful. And, you know, I think most of that was due to JMU's defense. And they got after him. They, you know, they can. You hope we see a big repeat of that kind of thing. He's not a super mobile guy, and JMU has done well the last few years against, you know, big, strong quarterbacks who aren't super mobile. So
he really didn't impress me.
No,
and I hate bagging on
particular
players or college kids. He came in with a decent amount of hype, and he was kind mm-hmm. of. He was sold to us as kind of one of the up and coming QBs of the CAA, and watch out, you know, right. when he gets as a senior, he's gonna be really good. And he's kind of regressed a little bit. I think he's completing like 50% of his passes. He's just kind of meh. Like
yeah.
He's not good. He's not bad. If you look at his stats for the year, a good game for him would be like 12 for 24 with 160 yards.
Yeah,
you know, it's just he's kind of the old game manager, as they used to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what he's doing. And I don't know. I mean, it's mostly because this running game is so good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get in a situation like he hasn't proven that he can win a game with his arm.
No, and it's
and, yeah. and I don't think the time to do that is against Jimmy Moreland
or John Daca or Rondell yeah. Carter. Right? No, I don't either. And it's just it's too bad for. I mean, not to feel bad for Elon, but losing Davis Cheek, their quarterback mm-hmm. is now out for the season with a torn ACL, and he's a guy who you know he had also been. Fairly pedestrian in JMU's previous matchups until this year, but clearly had taken a step, you know, taken a big step forward in his play
yeah.
This year as a senior. And not quite sure we'll see that from Carbone, but it's certainly a danger because I think they're in sort of similar styles of play, both those teams. So, yeah, that's I'm excited to see the defense back with all its players. You know, we saw a little bit of it a couple weeks. You hope with the bye, you know, working guys like Word and back in Adib, even maybe some of the corners, like you hope that the health is really starting to kick in for JMU and they have their full complement of players right now. And it is exciting to think about what they might be able to do this weekend with a fully loaded weapon on defense. So, yeah, my last thing, Rob, is I'm very excited. It's a purple out this weekend. We can put away the gray uniforms, all the junk, right? I'm hoping we can see lots and lots and lots of purple on the field, in the stands. This kind of goes not only for the team, you know, I'm not going to complain about the uniforms, but fans as well. And I did see Houston maybe looking ahead to the weather forecast and kind of concerned himself really urging fans to be there all four quarters, as he put it. So
that's tough any homecoming, but we'll see. I don't know if the weather will work in your favor in that situation or against you. Like sometimes when it's nice and there's a big blowout, everybody's gone back out tailgating. But
no problem with that.
Yeah.
They're winning by a lot.
Yeah, whatever. But we'll see.
This, you know, if it's 38 and raining, people, just come prepared this week. The seasons have very much changed this week up there in the valley. And I don't know, whatever wetsuit material, wetsuit gloves you are your best cold, wet weather stuff. Get that stuff ready.
But you know, I mean, I'm pretty confident going into this game. And Todd, you know, I'm usually the nervous fan who's like, you know,
you're a lifelong Mets fan. So,
and Giants. My goodness gracious, which talk about not getting any relief from my red zone issues that JMU has. It's even worse when I turn on Giants.
But you know they're going to win next week. Is a classic Skins debacle coming. Well, yeah, anyways.
They're all debacles. But I'm really confident. I think Stony Brook's pass defense is very mediocre. You know, I think they're giving up 220-something yards a game.
Well, yeah, I'm really excited about Nooch coming off the bye, too.
Yeah, I think – and granted, some of those – I mean, Towson played against Stony Brook. That'll mess up your numbers. I mean, they put up 52
Tom
points.
Flacco, yeah.
Yeah, so that's – take it with a grain of salt. But they haven't proven they can shut down any passing attack. I think Nooch is going to be very good. I expect to see some improvement from Donnie Kaye's play calling. I think we're going to see a little bit more variety. Yep. I think they're going to start to open things up. This is the time of the season where we've seen Houston do that. But I think they're going to be very effective moving the ball. I think the running game will improve. I'm not sure it's going to be a, you know, back to the glory days type situation. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man. Like on a wet track, I give the edge to the JMUD. I think if it gets to be one of these kind of down and dirty games, you're just trying to pound it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Stony Brook can run all they want, but there's only so much you can do. Other than even against Elon, when the D was kind of banged up, missing some players, it was basically big plays and it was mistakes. It wasn't like they were exposed for just run down the right side.
They had a big play of their own called back by a penalty, and
It was that was, I think that was more a wake up call.
They gave up 27 points. I mean, it wasn't. I think when Stony Brook played Towson, they gave up 52.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't that kind of a, like, full meltdown.
Yeah, I don't know. They got beat. We're not just...
No, JMU lost the game.
They lost the game.
Right.
And they lost the game because it was key breakdowns. It was four or five plays that broke down. It wasn't a breakdown of the entire defensive system, is the point I'm trying to make.
No, I feel that way. I mean, as nervous as I am about this game, as nervous as I am about this tough stretch run, I'll take JMU's defense against anybody in the country on any day at this level, the rest of the season in any game they play. So, if they're healthy, I'm happy to. I will again always be confident that JMU's defense will probably hold people below 21, 24 points. And it's a question of can JMU, climb above that number. Like, it was surprising to me for Elon to get to 27. It would be really surprising for me to see anyone get to 35 or 42 against this defense, to force JMU into a pure shootout.
Yeah, well, I think if Stony Brook were to win, it would be one of these, 21-10 type games.
Yeah,
think they're high scoring.
Yes, 21-16, 23-20,
I think they're too one-dimensional on offense. I don't want to knock the guy, but Carbone does not impress me. He doesn't scare me. I think if you get in a situation where he's got to throw the ball 25, 30 times, that's in JMU's favor.
Yeah, at some point he's got to make, they're going to have to convert a 3rd-and-8 or a 2nd-and-14 situation. And that's when you really get in trouble against JMU.
Yeah.
Even if you run the ball well for a while. And it wouldn't surprise me this week with Word healthy to see JMU. Wayne Davis has been playing really well, but I think we're going to see a lot of that three-headed monster of Word, Moore, and Holloway.
Instead of Davis dropping down?
Yeah, if Stony Brook's going to challenge you for 3 yards in a cloud of dust every play, it wouldn't surprise me to see a little bulkier group in there for JMU this time now that they have all their guys back, so... we'll see what happens. You got anything else on football? Are you ready for a little bit of hoops?
No, just the one thing we're talking about, the running game. I was I've got the stats up. Like, you know, Marshall is still averaging 7 yards a carry.
Yeah.
But only 52 yards a game. So it makes you think, and this is something that you were concerned about all year. Like, oh, you know, this running back by committee, we got to start going to some guy. And I was concerned last time, but what do you have, 5 carries last game? Maybe this is the game where he gets 15 carries and we all start to feel a little bit better about the running game. He's still proven that he can do it. They've just, for whatever reason, haven't pounded it with him. So
yeah, and I think Trey has been good at spurts this year too.
I think Trey's been great about coming in the third or fourth quarter. You know, the tough runs,
yes,
that would typically be maybe 3 yard runs in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
His big old legs push him out for 5 or 6 yard
right.
runs. You're just the punishing ones in the end. So like he can kind of kill the game for you.
Yes,
and they've been using that role. But I'd like to see this week, instead of just using the running game to kind of kill the clock or you know, oh, we finally get out of the lead now. So let's maybe jump out to a lead with the running game or just run away with it.
Yes.
You know, get 2 or 3 touchdowns on the ground with these, you know, a 10-play drive where you've got 6 running plays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll take anything as long as it's a win. But yeah. I would really like to see maybe 1 or 2 main backs emerge in this game.
Yes. And we want to see a good tailgate no matter the weather. We'll see everybody in D-Lot this weekend. Got big plans this week. So our whole group is going this week.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Yeah.
First time in ages.
Yes, exactly. We've got some, you know, very young children in that group. So it's been hard. And one couple people have moved away. So, yeah, but excited for this weekend. So – Rob, you want to start us off on hoops? Just we'll do, I don't know, maybe kind of back and forth for 4 things we're either looking forward to, thinking about, want to talk about hoops.
Kind of like reasons for optimism or reasons for skepticism. Just back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can start off with the CA Media Day was last week.
And yeah. Is it even a real thing anymore? Or is it just like all online?
It's all kind of online. And at least the voting took place already. And JMU was picked 6th out of 10 teams this year, which – while not as high as we would all like, is a significant step up from the last couple of years for the Dukes in the preseason, though at least the respect they're getting around the conference. And Stucky Mosley was picked to the second team, and Matt Lewis was an honorable mention in the preseason. Darius Banks, who joined Lewis last year on the all-freshman team, was not selected. But that's kind of that sets us up for talking about hoops going forward.
Yeah, I guess I've got no real gripes with any of that. I think that's all pretty fair. Mm-hmm. You know, Stucky Mosley is very good. Second team, that seems reasonable. You know, that's one of the top players.
I looked at it, Rob. I mean, this conference is stacked this year.
Yeah, when you look at the teams.
Really, the first and second teams are – Nathan Knight is on the second team with Stucky Mosley. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Initially, it was like, oh, Matt Lewis got screwed. Then you look at it and you're like, well, Matt Lewis is a hell of a player. You know, he was terrific as a freshman.
Yeah,
but I can't choose anybody on the first 2 teams and be like, well, he clearly deserves to be in over that guy. I mean, this is a really good league this year. And
the first team, Brantley and Riller from Charleston,
who
are both great. Pusica, that little annoying,
who was
just great player for Northeastern, who was picked to win the conference. Kaycock from UNCW, who I think is probably, in our minds, the best player in the conference.
Yeah.
And then Wright Foreman from Hofstra was picked as the preseason player of the year.
And was player of the year last year.
Right. And that's 4 seniors and a junior who are really, really good and left people like Nathan Knight and Stucky Mosley on the second team. That's a really good group. Yeah.
And they're fun to watch. Like, I know everybody kind of knocks it like, oh, it's a low mid-major. It's probably not a multi-bid league, but like, you're not going to have much more fun watching a guy play ball than somebody like Pusica.
Right.
You know, he's also Wright Foreman. He's a guy that can fill it up any given night. You know, it's really fun basketball. These are teams that kind of get up and down. You've heard us talk about William and Mary and them shooting the lights out. But it's a fun league this year. Northeastern, I think they're picked to win. I think a lot of their fans would say, well, technically that should be a repeat. They got kind of
got a little job. Yeah,
got a little jobbed. There's Pasika got called for what was it, like a travel or double dribble or something. There's some serious home cooking going on in Charleston to the benefit of the Cougars.
Right.
you know, down the stretch. But that's a good team. Wright Foreman is good. A guy
who's
good enough.
Northeastern, Charleston, and Hofstra were the top three. I couldn't believe UNCW, Kaycock, is only one spot ahead of JMU because William & Mary's in fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, Kaycock, I mean, they don't have that much around him, but he's a guy that can just dominate. He can go 20 points and 15 rebounds on any given night.
Mm-hmm.
Wright Foreman is the exact type of player in college basketball that can carry you to an end, you know, get hot at the right weekend and help you cut down the nets and get your bid. So
I don't want to see Hofstra get a bid.
No, I don't. And I mean, it's Hofstra, so it'll fall apart. They're cursed in many ways. It's like JMU, if you're picked to finish sixth, you're basically bumped up. I think it's CFC, Northeastern, Hofstra. If William & Mary can play any D, they could make a run. But everybody else is kind of bunched up in that three to seven
what I
range.
Felt like the top five were pretty clear, and then JMU was kind of picked as the best of the rest. And I did think to myself, looking at it's Delaware, Elon, Drexel, and Towson rounding out the end of the conference. I guess for me, expectation wise, I mean, sixth for me is, you know, it's fine. It's probably right where they should be. But I also feel like I'm hopeful, or at least my expectation is that might be the floor for JMU instead of the ceiling. Like, yeah. I'd be really disappointed if they finished ninth again. You know,
I'd be very upset.
Where I wouldn't be like shocked if they managed to finish fourth. You know.
No, and obviously the goal is you want to go back to the tournament for the
season. Yeah.
But I think I'd consider it a success if they were one of the top four seeds and they got to buy the CAA tournament, and then, you know, hopefully you win a game. But in terms of regular season, if they could finish top four in this league, considering where they're coming from, you know, the past couple of years, and if you learn to close out games better, get some better breaks, they were in pretty much every game last year. They had some absolutely bizarre end-of-game sequences, bad luck / you know, youth showing up at the wrong time.
Right.
You know, last year was weird. So they could have, with any sort of better luck, they could have had four or five more wins. They probably should have. I mean, that Mason game, it was like, you know, ripping defeat from the jaws of victory. So, yeah, I think if they finish top four, that would be great. But it's not a complete failure if you finish fifth or sixth. We'll see. That's about the least constructive statement anybody's ever made.
Well, no, I mean,
like, yeah, it's just, I mean, like, you don't know. It's got the potential, but it's a young team. I don't know. I'd like to think top four. If seventh or eighth, or goodness knows, you know, even worse than that, then you start having a real serious conversation about, is it time to start over?
They are bringing back four starters this year.
Yeah.
You know, Lewis and Mosley and Banks, and then not just the starters, but I mean, I think Phillips, Jones, and Wilson all played a good amount last year.
And Jacobs.
So they're, you know, they're bringing back seven or eight guys that contributed a lot, and they have this really highly touted freshman class coming in. Four new players joining the crew, including Flowers and Parker. I mean, some guys that I think people are pretty excited about. So, yeah, I mean, they could be a deep team. It might take them a little while to, you know, figure out the rotation and get those freshmen playing up to par. But yeah, I'm with you. I really am hoping for Coach Rowe and for the program that they win. If they just convert half of those close games from last year, they're solidly in the middle of the conference and in the conversation as a team, you know, a threat when they get to the CAA tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. And for a young team last year, particularly with Lewis, you know, playing majority of the point, they did a good job of taking care of the ball. That's one reason I'm very optimistic. It was not a team that made a bunch of sloppy turnovers.
Nope.
They had a positive assist to turnover ratio. I think they were positive net turnovers. So, like, things you wouldn't expect from young teams to do, that you wouldn't expect young teams to do well, they did pretty well. One area where they struggled, and you'd expect this as young, was shooting. They were not a particularly great shooting team. I think they were, you know, it kind of a, not awful, but shot like 420 or something from the field.
Right.
They were not good from long range at all. You know, 330 or something like that, 33%. If they can get that up, you know, 37, 38%, they don't need to be, you know.
No, they're not going to be William
Golden State. They're not going to be William Mary or Golden State. They're not going, you know, 90, 50, 40 or anything like that.
But they're athletic enough, you know, 1 through 8, that if they just are a competent shooting team, they're going to be a tough team to play against for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, they have enough guys athletically to keep up with almost anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And another guy, like you mentioned, but Darius Banks is somewhat overlooked, I think. Everybody's just talking about, like, oh, Mosley and Lewis.
No, I really enjoyed Banks at the end of last year.
Yeah.
I felt like he was really coming on. Yeah.
Yeah. And Devell Phillips, I know he had some issues where he was, you know, benched and, I don't know, maybe criticized for lack of effort by Coach Rowe and disappeared. But when he's on, he's kind of got, like, the Joakim Noah prior to being waived by the Knicks and career-ending sort of thing. But, like, back that, Noah was just could make a nuisance out of himself and play good D and rebound and get kind of ugly buckets, the type that would drive you crazy as an opposing fan, but you love. I think he can play that role where he doesn't need to score double figures every night, but if he can get you 7 to 10 rebounds and 7 to 10 points.
Right,
and
occasionally he's block a shot on the perimeter.
Kind of that energy.
A little annoying steal. Like, yeah.
Absolutely. And he's got the talent to do it. Mm-hmm. And he certainly had moments where he was the most energetic guy on the court last year, but then the other moments where he just didn't appear to have the wind or the energy. So maybe with another year under Coach Rowe, we could see that. So he's another guy that could be somewhat of an X factor. And then I'm really high on Zach Jacobs. You know, he looked really timid last year, didn't really know when to take his shot. And when he did, he was kind of, you know, a little bit hesitant, but he shot the ball pretty well in high school. Last year, he shot for a really bad percentage. He's got nowhere to go but up. Mm-hmm. He's a smart basketball player. I think he's going to take a big step forward and not necessarily be a starter or in the same conversation as Banks and Lewis and Mosley. But I think he's a guy who might surprise you in a couple nights a year, end up, you know, getting you double digits or even be a leading scorer every now and again. He has the potential to be a really good sixth man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you got anything else in particular, Rob, you're thinking about with the season? I know they've, you know, got a couple exciting games. They don't have anything sort of that jumps out at you on the schedule. They do play Old Dominion this year. But, you know, nothing – I didn't at least look at it and think, like, oh, they're playing Kentucky this year or something, you know.
No, but I'm okay with that. Kind of. I'm taking the approach of, like, hey, winning is a habit you need to develop. Mm-hmm. This is a team that needs to get that confidence going. And so if you play kind of an average or just not a flashy schedule, but you head into the conference play, you know, whatever, 10 and 3 or something like that.
Right.
That's good enough. That might be where they need to be at this stage of the program.
Yeah. I got to tell one story, Rob, real quick on the basketball program. This is not about this year. I went out with the Triad Dukes down here in Greensboro a couple weeks ago to watch the last the JMU win over Villanova. And there was a guy in the restaurant who – he's kind of like, he kept looking at us the whole first quarter, kind of, I don't know, you know, I don't know who he's with, but he kept kind of looking over at the five or six of us. And he finally like put it together. I think he turned around and looked at the TV. Like we all had JMU stuff on, but I think he wasn't quite realizing why we were all there.
Yeah.
And then he turned around, looked at the TV and realized we were watching this, you know, this standard definition JMU Villanova game. And he came over and he said, I just got to tell you guys, he's like, you guys all went to JMU or something? And we said, yeah. And he said, I played ball at ECU in the late 80s and early 90s. And he's like, I don't know what class he said, but he said, we were at JMU. We went to JMU. This is when ECU was in the conference, whatever conference it was at the time.
It was CAA. CAA. Back with American and ECU, Richmond.
And he was like, first time I went to JMU, or whatever, we went in, and he said, I thought it was 91, but he couldn't remember. And he's like, I remember going up there, and we drive all the way up there, and, you know, it's way out in the mountains kind of thing. And we get there, and the whole team, the JMU team, greeted us at the bus. You know, we get there early in the day or whatever. And he's like, and they were all wearing coats and ties, and they were so nice. And they greeted us at the bus, and he's like, nobody had ever done that. It was, like, the nicest thing. And then they actually took us on a tour around campus and around the whole thing. And we went out to eat. And he thought it was probably D Hall. You know, he didn't really know, like, what the story was as far as JMU's campus. But he was saying, like, that they went out to eat with us for lunch. And they just were so nice. And it was this weird thing that we'd never had. And he was like, and then we get to the arena for the game.
Arena.
Yeah, or whatever it was, you know. Yeah, he didn't know it was the condo, but he's like, we get to the state, you know, the place where they play the game. And that is the meanest crowd and the meanest team we have ever played. He was like, we got our ass kicked by like 30 or 40 points. I looked it up. I'm assuming it's the February 10th, 1992, end of the 91-92 season when JMU won that game 86-48. And he was like, those guys spit on us, punched us. Like, the game, and he's like, that crowd was ridiculous. He's like, they put these people behind the baskets, and they're yelling at everybody. And it was, he's like, it was the worst atmosphere I played in 3 years or something, playing college ball. And he's like, it was just, and it was, and he was like, it's such a mind fuck, you know, yeah. Because they had been so nice to us and done this weird, like, it was almost creepy how nice and what a sort of professional, you know, thing this was when we got off the bus. And this whole first 2 hours we were up there, and we were all kind of like, oh, this is so nice. It's going to be a fun game. And then we get out there at the combo, and it's just a mess.
It's the Martin games, man.
Yeah, and lefty. I was like, that was lefty. And I was like, I was in the lefty teams. And it just, it got me excited for basketball again, and it made me think, like, we got a couple years left in the combo, people. Go out and enjoy it, you know. It is what it is at this point. It's certainly not going to get any better. But it's almost, we're almost to the end of it. But enjoy the hell out of it these last couple years. For everybody in the Valley and students right now, get out there and have fun with it.
Yeah, because you talk about football, like how it's so hard for JMU, a team with really great facilities, to go to New Hampshire and, you know, the great locker rooms and everything. Uh-huh. It's the same sort of situation with the combo. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not a bunch of, you know, the CAA doesn't have like a Fog Allen or a Palestra. There's none of these palatial places or these, you know, iconic.
Famous, yeah.
But like Towson has awesome facilities.
They do.
Delaware's kind of a unique situation, but Drexel's got a weird court design like us. But those things are kind of like quirky and make it difficult to play. But for the combo, it's like we as fans use an excuse for JMU's poor player. Oh, it's not worth going to. It can be a real idiosyncratic experience for visitors.
And as someone who grew up going to a bunch of Maryland games, it has always felt to me like they lost something when they moved out of Cole into the new facility. Right. You know, just that it just feels antiseptic or something in there. And and people were afraid to play at Cole. And it was definitely a head game for the teams that played in there. Yeah. And hopefully JMU, you know, I can't wait for the new arena. I'm excited to go in there. But
when you've got this really weird situation, use it to your advantage.
Yeah. And JMU's got a I guess I was just thinking that this year, like, they have a tough, kind of feisty team potentially if they stay healthy. They should be competitive. They're certainly athletically competitive with anybody they're going to play. You know, it would be nice to see the combo really going after it. Yeah. Getting after it again a little bit for these last couple of years there.
So. Yeah. With the pep band hanging right over here as a visiting team, that can be in a loud arena. Like when I was there the lefty year, were there for the time, it was loud. It was a tough place to play.
Right. Cause it wasn't made for acoustics. Like the modern arenas are, you know?
No, it was just weird. Like there's walls where there shouldn't be walls. And there's like a balcony thing behind the basket
to get on the court and stuff.
Yeah, it's gotta be unnerving.
Well, Rob, you want to take us to overtime real quick?
Well, yeah. I mean, we got to talk about the lottery, right? I mean,
yeah, we're doing the same thing everybody else is doing.
Everybody else is buying tickets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. We're doing that too, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I went to 7-Eleven earlier. There was like a line out the door of people getting tickets.
Right.
And same thing at Giant. Everybody's jammed around those machines.
Yeah.
So, no, we're just going to talk about like what we would do if we won the money.
Giant food. I do miss some Giant food.
Oh, yeah.
You did not have that. I don't really miss that.
No.
We don't have that down here. Yeah.
No. But who knows? By the time people hear this, we might have already won.
One of us will have.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
I tell you one thing. My first, I'll be doing this a much larger percentage of my time.
Yeah.
This is going to be a professional podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No more smartphones. Have a little studio.
Bennett, Greg, you're all working for us now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like when I was a kid, well, I used to talk about if I won $1 million, which seemed like a much greater sum of money than it now does. Mm-hmm. When we're talking, what is this? It's up to $2
billion. $1 million.
Yeah. Yes. But for me, like when I was a little kid, all I wanted was a mansion with a pool and a water slide from my bedroom directly into the pool. And then like a full-size basketball court. So, and that's as big as my dreams got. They haven't evolved.
I was actually going to say, they're exactly the same, right?
Yeah. I mean, so now, I mean, for me, it'd be the house, I'd have a house in Newport. my kids and wife mm-hmm. already have like, oh yeah, we'd go this street and that street, whatever. So that's done. But yep. then I always said, if I won, it would be like, I would be gone. I might not show up at work. I'd keep my job just because it'd be great having like the ultimate FU money mm-hmm. and being able to just approach it with nothing else. But I would just send an email to you and everybody else I know being like, send me your info, tickets to the airport. I'd have everybody out, house in Aspen. I'd have it fully yep. stocked with food, beer, mm-hmm. chef. But most importantly, I would have skis and gear and everything waiting for everybody. So yes. anytime my friend showed up, it was like, just come out, you know, hop on yep. my plane, ideally.
Yes, yes.
And we will just be there.
Yeah.
And it would be all, here's, I'd have a, whatever, dedicated fishing guide for the summer. Mm-hmm. And I'd have it all set up for skiing in the winter.
That is really good. Yeah. Because I would definitely be living on a boat, a very mm-hmm. large, fancy boat at this point. Yes. In the off seasons. I would definitely buy a tailgate pad in Harrisonburg.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, even if it's just a little condo downtown or something. That would be on the list. The one thing we were talking about at work today, you know, and like you, I would love to like take time and get a pilot's license and mm-hmm. have a little plane and learn to do that so that I could fly and visit you.
Oh no, I don't. I want somebody flying me around. Oh, I can okay. sit in the back. I'll have champagne and caviar.
Gotcha.
And,
yeah.
But somebody
at work today, we were talking about what was the coolest thing you could do? You know, everybody comes out of the woodwork. This one's going to be ridiculous with, the size of this one is particularly not, you know,
yeah.
it's alluring for everybody buying tickets. It's also concerning for the mental well-being of whoever wins.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I was saying the one thing I would love to do is just pay off all the student loans of my friends.
Yeah.
Like, cause I always say, I actually don't need to win the lottery. Like I don't need the full 1.6 billion. I just need enough to pay off my student loans at this point. And it would, I was thinking about it. I was like, this is something that if you could do this for my brother, for my friends, that's like that'd be the best.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my kids think it's boring, but they're like, what would you do that? And I was like, well, first thing is I'd set up, pay for your college and all your nieces and nephews colleges.
That's right.
And then, I mean, I don't know. I'm at the point where, like, I don't really like stuff. So for me, it would be really exciting to be able to start a charity, or all of a sudden we've got like the JMUSP endowed scholarship.
Oh, there's no doubt we'd have an endowed scholarship. They'd have an indoor practice facility.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. But for me, like, I'm not interested in being super wealthy. Obviously I'd take it, but like, it's not a goal of mine. Money's not that important. But when I do think about it, and people are going to think I'm lying, the idea of being able to do good for others is the most appealing part. I mean, well, the most appealing part is just not needing to worry about it. Yes, I don't care about having stuff, but just the freedom from needing to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I absolutely would. I mean, you look at my kids go to the local public school and half their school is on the free lunch program. Right. I would love to do stuff like whatever. And forget about college. I'm talking about just like set up tutoring and programs like that. Mm-hmm. And, but then, yeah, absolutely. What are you going to do? There's only so many things you can buy. I'd be all about setting up some sort of charity to help people advance themselves. And then the other thing is my parents travel constantly. Every time mm-hmm. I turn around, like, I can't keep up.
Yeah, mine do too.
They're always
going. Point. Yeah.
They've reached that point. They're always, and they're going really cool places. My mom has always wanted to go to Budapest and she's never gone. And I'm like, we'll just go to freaking Budapest. I mean, she was in Europe like 4 times last year. She's never gone. So I would take my mom to Budapest so I could, because it'd be fun. They've taken me a lot of places, but also, like, I don't know. There's, she could stop talking about it and just do it. Like, go to Italy one less time.
I love it. Yeah. I think in general, like everybody, we're probably not that far off of everybody else's goals other than the JMUSB endowed scholarship.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could be the T. Boone Pickens of JMU's rise to the American Athletic Conference.
Yeah. Although one thing would be cool in terms of like splurging, the old Cal Ripken setup. You hear about his basketball?
Oh yeah, that kind of. Well, that's the thing. I don't need like more than I have, like more things than I have now, but to have nicer versions of them, would be really nice, right?
Like I've got a basketball hoop in our back driveway. It would be nice to have a basketball court.
Court.
Yeah.
Right.
With lights and locker rooms.
Right. Yeah, no, like I have a vehicle that I love dearly, and I'm so happy to have gotten this vehicle. I would just have a nicer, bigger version of that vehicle, right? Yeah. like that's the same. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's pretty fun. Hopefully somebody in JMU Nation wins it. Hopefully somebody in JMU, you know, athletics land wins the lottery. They'll probably, the winning ticket is probably bought in Dayton, Virginia.
Yeah.
Right? So we'll see. But Rob, it's good to talk to you. I really can't wait to see you this weekend. Really looking forward to seeing everybody this weekend. Yeah,
absolutely.
We're going to get our annual chance to really spend some quality time. And everybody come join us at Pale Fire on Friday. You know, rain or shine, we will be there. We're looking forward to seeing many of you out there. Thank you to everybody who has supported us along the way and might or might not make it on Friday. I don't know. That's the thanks to Pale Fire for putting up with us and supporting us and doing this on Friday. And enjoy Quad Fest. It's going to be great. Enjoy the whole weekend. Lots of JMU events to get out to. Lots of things that, you know, a lot of people come back for homecoming that aren't there for football. So enjoy your time in the Berg. Hopefully we will be talking about a 6-2, close to first place, top 5 JMU team next week. And hopefully we'll be talking about a 4th-seeded DC United team, Rob.
Oh, man. That's been something else. Wayne Rooney.
It's been a good run for the two teams that you and I share allegiances to, with the Caps and DC United this year.
And the Wizards won last night, too.
And, hey, how about that? Yeah. Well, the broken clock's right.
Yeah.
Twice a day, right? Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't have anything else, so I will talk to you next week, Rob.
Yeah, have a good week, everybody. See you Friday.
Yeah. Go Dukes.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.